You'll be able to get him there, but we done came so close to the throne, we can't go back for some announcements. Amen. We can't go back for some announcements. I'm already here. I can't turn back and be like, no. Hebrews 11, 1, amen, we'll read, and I'm going to stop at verse 4. The Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. Father, add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your most holy word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we're in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, and chapter 11 is all about faith. It could be separated, amen, into two parts, really. The first part primarily gives us a definition of faith. And the second part is all about the history of faith. We've covered the first part already, and so now we're actually just delving into the history of faith, amen. And we got to the first person mentioned in, amen, this hall of fame, hallelujah, heroes of the faith chapter. We got to Abel. Amen. Somebody say Abel. Amen. And we had 3 points coming out of verse 4. One was Abel. 2, offered a more excellent sacrifice. And 3, he was righteous. As we talked about Abel, if you remember, we passed up Adam and Eve because Adam and Eve didn't need faith. They walked with God. Anybody hear me up in here? Faith occurred after the fall. Amen. When he became the unseen God. Amen. And so Adam and Eve were skipped in this chapter, but their children, amen, Cain and Abel, would be, amen, hallelujah, recipients, amen, potential people who would operate in faith. The Bible talks about, amen, Cain and how Eve thought that he was the Messiah. She named him, amen, I got it, this is it. Understanding that sometimes, amen, the one who we think is the chosen one, God got a whole nother, amen, plan, amen? And so, amen, it wasn't about Cain, amen? Both of them were the Messiah, but Abel had the juice. Abel had the faith. Abel had, amen, a relationship with the Most High God. And secondly, we saw, amen, this relationship manifest itself because he offered. He offered. He offered a more excellent sacrifice. And we saw, amen, Cain bring his offering first. And Cain was so religious, amen. Cain looked the part, but he wasn't the part. Deep inside, amen, he just didn't have it in him. So everything that he was doing was just superficial. It was fake. He came and he brought the offering first, but he brought any old kind of thing to God. He didn't bring the best to God. He didn't give him his first. But by the time it was time for Abel to offer, Abel came with it. He brought a blood sacrifice. He brought the very best that he had, the fat of the sacrifice. And he also gave the priority, God. He gave the firstling, his first fruits, representative of the tithe. And we saw, amen, hallelujah, Cain just give him the leftovers while Abel put him first. And so we said this was all about faith, y'all. Because anytime you offer something to God, amen, and you just give God any old thing, you really don't believe in him like you think you do. But when you give him the best, it's evidence that you believe in him. Come on, give God some glory, amen. We're going to look at the last point, point number 3. Amen. The Bible says he was righteous. He was righteous. It says in verse 4, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was, what? Righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaking. You see, when it says he obtained witness that he was righteous, amen, Abel was the first one, y'all, in the scriptures who was made righteous by faith. Made righteous by faith. You know, we New Testament believers. And we know according to Ephesians 2:8, amen, for by grace we are saved through what? Through faith. Amen. That's the new covenant. And throughout the Old Testament, God would give us examples of people who didn't have it all right, but they trusted in God. And that trust and that faith was so strong, God exchanged the faith and the trust and gave them righteousness. For all these years, amen, I thought that Abraham was one of the first ones who operated in this faith that resulted in the imputation of righteousness. But upon just getting in the word and this study, now I see, amen, that I was wrong. There was somebody who preceded Abraham, somebody who trusted God before them all. Somebody, amen, if Abraham is the father of faith, he is the grandpappy, the granddaddy of faith. And that's nobody but Abel up in our text right here. See, Abel trusted God, saints. And when we get up there in glory, amen, I believe we're going to see some people up there. I believe we're going to see David dancing like he used to dance. We're going to see Jacob up in there. Anybody hear me up in here? We're going to see Jeremiah up in there with his chocolate cell. Anybody hear me up in here? And one of the ones we're going to see Abel. One of the first ones to believe God to the point to be made righteous by his faith. John MacArthur says that it was Abel who first left the testimony to all succeeding generations that a person can come to God by faith alone and receive righteousness. He was the one that started this bout it, y'all. You see? Excuse me as I get hood up in here. You know what I'm saying? Though Abel started it, listen, Abraham did the same thing. And I want to show you in Romans 4:3. Watch this. Amen. We're talking about he was made righteous. In Romans 4:3, amen. Look at Abraham. For what saith the scripture? Abraham did what? He believed God. And what happened? And it was counted unto him for righteousness. All right? You can start off dirty. You can start off unclean. But you can believe God so strong that he take the spiritual shower, put it on you, and though your sins were red as scarlet, he'll wash you as white as snow. Not because you had the money to do it, but because you had the faith to do it. Come on, give God some glory, amen. Just like the thief on the cross, amen, lived a wretched life. But he believed God, and that faith was accounted for righteousness. All right? Let's look at closely, look a little more closer to Abraham's life. In 4:18, look what it says. This is about Abraham. Who against hope, that's a statement. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't consider Sarah's womb either. He staggered not at what? At the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being, watch this, fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able. Oh, just stop right there. Just come on, man. How y'all gonna get excited and we just reading up in it? We just reading and y'all clapping. Let's just say that part again. He was what? He was. He was fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. In watch 22. And therefore, in the case of Abraham, because his belief was so strong in God, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! We don't work our way into heaven. We believe our way into heaven. We don't work up righteousness. Oh, no. We believe for our righteousness. You see? You see that statement about Abraham when the Bible says, against hope? Against hope? This means that everything was stacked up against Abraham. This means that his circumstances, his situation, everything that he was going through was a no. It's like them little bobbleheads when they start shaking like that. I'm getting a no. I'm getting a no. Everything was a no. Anybody hear me up in here? When it says against hope, amen, it means that Abraham looked to hope and hope was like, nah, bro. Go ahead and adopt. Nah, holler at Ishmael. You see? You ever been in a situation where it was stacked up against you? Well, what you was asking for God to do, amen, it just didn't seem like it was possible for it to happen. What does he say? He say, man, he say, his body was now dead. God bless you. Well, how could Abraham be living but his body dead? I'm thinking it's talking about his reproductive system. It was now dead. He was 100 years old, amen. And Abraham couldn't rooster like he used to. Tyrone, what you laughing at, Tyrone? That's why hope said no, because Abraham's body said no. His body was dead. But not only was his body dead, but when he looked over to his wife, because sometimes you could not be working with everything you got, but your wife could be working with, and No. Y'all stay right. I'm talking about their reproductives on the inside. Help them, Harvey. Help them. He dead on the inside. Sarah's womb is now dead. Now, what did he have? What did he have? If he 100, his wife 90, everything stacked against him. Everything is a no. I'm talking to somebody in here. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody in here. What did he have? The Bible says in 20, he staggered not at the promise. He had a promise. He had a promise and he was strong in faith. He had a promise and he was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded, amen, that God, amen, was going to give him what God told him he was going to give him. I stopped by here tonight to tell somebody in here that God ain't forgot his promise he made to you. You might have forgotten it, but he ain't forgot. Stop staggering at the promise. Stop being half persuaded and get back fully persuaded. You see? All was dead but God. You see? I have in my notes, he'll make a way for you out of no way. You see? In Genesis 21, amen, my hand's tingling. My hand is just tingling up in here. Just faith is in the place tonight, amen? In Genesis 21, amen, just going deeper into Abraham's story, I just want to show you how he believed God. The Bible says, and the Lord, after he believed him, the Lord visited Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. Now, You got to understand, God's saying the same thing twice because he wants you to get this. He said it, he spoke it, and he did it just like he said he would. Verse 2, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. So everything was broken on Abraham, but God still made him bear a son. Verse 3, and Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, he called him Isaac. He called him Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son on the eighth day, as God had commanded. And Abraham was 100 years old, just so y'all can remember, when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God had made me to laugh. I was in the prayer closet. I say, God, what you want me to tell him tonight? He said, tell him I'm going to make him laugh. He said, tell him I'm going to make him laugh. I'm going to make him laugh. You ever got something so unexpected that it just you just look at you? You just laugh? You just laugh. I don't know about you, but I done got some things that made me laugh. Sarah's blessing was so big that she laughed when she got it. She named the boy Laughter. She said, you just going to be Isaac. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. You see, he about to bring you some Isaacs in your life. Not for you to worship like we talked about, but for you to receive and for you to laugh. All right? You're going to laugh your way into that new house you've been praying for. I don't know how it's going to happen. I can't tell you how it's going to happen. I can't tell you how he did it with Abraham and Sarah. Everything said no. But God said yes. And laughing your way. I'm not done with you yet. Some of y'all gonna laugh your way into that car you've been needing. Oh yeah, no more bicycle riding. No more car that's stopping along the way. You're gonna be laughing. You're gonna be on that lot and you're gonna say, I'm a pro. For my singles tonight, you're gonna laugh your way at the wedding altar. You're gonna be at the altar just laughing. God, this is so unexpected, God. I don't even know his last name, God. What's his middle name, God? Where you come from? Some of our barren in here. Those without children. They never had children. You're going to be laughing your way to women's and children. You're going to be laughing your way. Just laughing. Run the red light, honey. Somebody say Isaac. I'm not done with you yet. Some of you going to laugh when that husband gets saved and come to that altar. Been praying for him for so long, and out the blue, that husband going, the one that, oh, God, you call him Judas behind his back. And so many other things. You'll laugh when that spouse gets saved. You laugh when them prodigals come home and get saved. You'll laugh when you deposit that check of unexpected income. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Doug, I'm telling you. It just come upon you, be laughing. And the proverbial saying shall come to pass. You shall be laughing your way all the way to the bank. Just laugh. Just. Honey, guess what happened? Laughing your way to a new business that's prosperous. Customers coming in, don't even know how it's happening. Laughing your way to that promotion, just laughing when those investments reap unexpected blessings. Just, oh, you found oil under that land? You. Somebody say Isaac. Listen, through faith, God is going to look at your situation and circumstance. And though it be dead, though it be dried up, though everything be a no in your life, go ahead and be fully persuaded that he is able and he's going to keep his promise. You know, the Bible says, though you sow in tears, you will reap in joy. Anybody hear me up in here? So this is Abraham's faith. He believed God and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. God looked down and said, Abraham, you believe me this much? You believe that I'm strong enough, wise enough? I'm impressed, Abraham. So I'm going to wrap you in the righteousness of God. He did the same thing to Abel, y'all. He was made righteous. He was made righteous. Watch this. Look at the text. Watch this. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. By which? By what? By the offering. By the offering that he made through faith. What happened? He obtained the witness that he was righteous. Watch this. God saw his offering was so good. His offering was so good that faith jumped off of it. Because you're not going to give me the best like that. You're not going to prioritize me like that. You're not going to look out for me and my kingdom like that unless you believe me. And when you believe me that strong, woo, I'm accounted for righteousness. The way he gave, y'all, exhibited a saving faith. Now watch me now. Stay close with me as we cut some hairs here and get theological. It wasn't his giving that saved him, though. Don't come thinking that you just put an offering and somehow you could buy your way into heaven. Now, no, I'm not no seller of the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, no. Oh, no, ain't nothing changed. But watch this. His giving didn't earn him salvation. But his giving proved that he had the requisite faith to get salvation. You understand what I'm saying? James says it like this. Faith without works is dead. That offering was so much of a big work that it showed God and everybody else that Abel's faith was real. Ooh. And that faith, hallelujah, that faith shown by the offering, amen, resulted in righteousness. I have in my notes, the work did not save him, but the work evidenced that he had enough faith to be saved. He wouldn't have offered like that if he did not believe God, if he did not trust God. The longer that I pastor, I've been pastoring now for 12 years. Amen? 12 years. And the pastorate is heavy, you know what I'm saying? It's a heavy thing to carry. I've been carrying it now for 12 years. Amen? I pray. I pray I could carry it all my days. I don't know. Without his grace, I'll never be able to. You see? But anyway, I've been pastoring now for 12 years. And the longer I pastor, the deeper revelation I get about the tithe. Remember, we first started, I didn't even talk about the tithe. I didn't. But the longer I pastor, I get a deeper appreciation of what tithes and offerings mean. You see? What you mean, Pastor? Well, I'm going to say this statement. I'm going to just say it. Saved people tithe. Before I was saved, I'd never tithe. But what was that? Save people tithe. Unless there is a theological error that they learned something false along the way, and you know what I'm saying? Just that caveat is there. Because I done met some believers that got caught up into some lies and stuff like that. But once they hear the voice of God, my sheep, they know my voice. Once they hear the voice and they, oh, you understand what I'm saying? Then they get on it. So save folk tithe. That's the premise right here. All right. And the reason I say that is when you look at Luke 7:47, Jesus is telling a little story right here. And in it, amen, he go into the house of Simon, the Pharisee. And the woman with the alabaster box, she come through there. She come with an offering, with a worship that's expensive. It was the most precious thing in her whole life. But when she ran into Jesus, when he ran into her, when she grabbed hold of Jesus, when he grabbed hold of her, listen to me, the most expensive prized possession that she had was nothing compared to the person who she met along the way. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The saved tithe. You understand what I'm saying? Because we found something more precious than anything else in our life. You can have it all if you ask for it, Lord, because before I ran into you, I had nothing. I surrender all to thee, everything I have to thee, withholding nothing. Let's not digress. Watch this. Simon watches the woman wash Jesus' feet with the perfume, the oil. She crying and she washed his feet with her tears and her hair, and she kissing his feet because of what he's done for her. Simon began to talk about Jesus in his mind. He began to talk about, man, she a sinner. He don't know she a sinner. Now the synoptic gospels, they began to count the money of the worth of the alabaster box. Don't you know how much this could be sold for? Them haters. Them thieves. Jesus told Simon, he said, Simon, reading his mind, Mr. Neal. He said, Simon, there were two debtors. One owed 500 and the other owed 50. If the creditor came and forgave both of them the debt, which one would love the creditor the most? If he forgave you 500 and if he forgave the other one 50, which one would be most appreciative? Which one would love the most? Simon say, I assume the one who is forgiven the most. Don't forget our premise. The saved tithe. Don't forget our premise. In verse 744, he says, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. The custom was when a stranger or a guest come, you give them water because all they wore was sandals, so them toes would be dirty. So you would give them water to wash their feet. Simon didn't give Jesus no water to wash his feet. He'd only do that for guests of honor, and Jesus wasn't honorable enough, I guess, in Simon's mind. But that's all right, Simon. You didn't give me no water for my feet, but she had washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, Simon. You ain't showed me no holy kiss, no brotherly love, the way the Hebrews used to do it. But this woman, since the time I came in, had not ceased to kiss, not my face, but my feet, Jesus says. He said, my head with oil thou didst not anoint. I didn't come in with from a long day of walking. You didn't give me no Dial soap, no olive oil, no cool water, no polo. But this woman had anointed my feet with ointment from the alabaster box. 747. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. The saved tithe. Why does the saved tithe? Because we've been forgiven much. Anybody hear me up in here? And since we've been forgiven much, we love much. We come in with the best we have, our alabaster box. Amen. And we lavish our worship upon our God. I love what David said in 2 Samuel 24:24. Just stay with me, y'all. Stay with me. David says, amen, when he was about to give an offering to the Lord. Arunah, amen, who was a king, amen, maybe of the Jebusites. He said, David, I'm going to give you everything you need to offer. The land, the bullocks, the cattle, I'll give you everything, David. Look what David said. But I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Why, David? Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. He's been too good to me for me to let somebody else pay my way. I'm not coming in empty. He gave me everything I have, everything I need. He saved my soul. I was in the field with the sheep. I'm not letting you buy my offering. I'm coming with an expensive praise, because he who has been forgiven much loves much. Listen to me. It's the saved that tithe, y'all. Are you hearing me up in here? Because of all that he's done for us. You see? Because we've been forgiven much. Yeah, that's what I have. You know, your offering should hurt. You ever heard that before? It should hurt you. It should hurt you. It should come to a place, amen, when your giving makes a difference in your life. Meaning, when you give, you have to account for it. And maybe even make some changes around it. Oh, you ain't with me right here. You ain't. Because the more it's worth to you, the more it will be worth to him. You understand what? Oh, come on, somebody. When you're about to marry that woman, amen, you go in there and you get her a ring, if you can, you know. If you got your L'Argent, your Benjamins, You try to get something. Amen. And you try to get the best you could get. Some done put it on layaway. You know what I'm saying? No matter what it is, you try your best to get the best. And some of y'all might not have been able to do it, but you got to promise, babe, when we able, I'm going to get you that diamond. I'm going to get you that stone. Oh, yeah. Why? You see? Because the price of the gift, the value of the gift, means something to the person you give it to. See, if I give you something expensive, it show you how much I love you. It show you how much I love you. Anybody can come up and give $5, $2. It don't cost you nothing. You can dig that change up in your car. But when you come here with them heavy pockets, when you got to walk up here with a limp, hold on, Pat. Oh, like I saw one of the brothers one day do me, brought up in a brown bag, like from the hood, you know, a brown bag, full of cash. See, when you come like that, it's expensive praise. It's expensive worship. It show God, God, you mean everything to me. Everything. I was always taught that there should be some times where your offering hurt, man.
Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Didn't his offering for us hurt him? Yes. Out there. I got him on that care. That was it. That was Holy Ghost that care. That ain't me. I'm telling you. Yeah. So listen. Here we go. We got to, all right. The saved tithe. The longer I passed, I understand that. See, people with just an error, they saved, but they got a little error. It's easy to correct. But the unsaved, you catch them, and they not only going to not tithe, but they're going to give trouble about the tithe. They're going to get mad when you talk about it. They're going to be the ones watching everything about it. Oh, that he bought the cheap flus right here. And he, you know? And it be the Negroes that's not even tithing. No, I'm serious, man. The ones that watch everything the most and give the most trouble is not even the tithers. Man, I'm telling you what I know, man. Pastor, how you could say that? Let me put a scripture on. Matthew 6:21. You see, for where your treasure is, wait a minute. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a connection between what you make and your heart. Wherever your heart is, whatever you love, what you make gonna follow that. You understand what I'm saying? So we could tell what you love just by checking your statement. Just by checking what you spend your money on, all right? So the people that give the most trouble are not usually the tithers because they heart not in it. They heart not in it. All right? They heart someplace else. Because where your treasure is, your heart will be there also. Listen to me. Somebody going to get your treasure. You going to pay a tithe somewhere. When I was lost, I was a tither. I just didn't tithe in church. But somebody had a percentage of what I made. Cool, can I call you out? Now, whoa, come on now. Somebody had a percentage of what I made. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. I'm still going to name a few things. Oh, no, I was a tither. See, somebody going to have your treasure yet. They're going to have it. Well, who got the treasure? They're going to cut up and fuss about not tithing to God or offering to God. But they tied to them casinos. Oh, they're giving more than 10% over there. Can't pay their light bill. Got to come here and ask for money. Won't tithe over here, but going to come here and ask for your tithe money to pay their light bill. And they're going to talk about it. I'm telling you. Man, I done seen some things, man. You hear me, Deacon? Oh, yeah, they tied to that casino. God want 10. That casino want it all. Ain't got no windows up in there. Oh, no, we got little windows. Look, we got some little windows over there. Listen. The card game, you tied to the card game. Get paid on that weekend ball, look. Pity pat. Draw poker. I'm poorer. But you leave there, I'm poorer. You understand what I'm saying? And you done gave a tithe. You're going to tithe somewhere. You're going to tithe to that liquor store. Huh? Oh, yeah, you're going to tie it to that liquor store. Oh, Muhammad got you. Got you. You're going to walk up in there. You know what I want. Pint of this, a quart of that. And a carton of this. Oh, you tithing? You won't get mad when God asks for it, but the devil, you give it to him willingly. You give it to him willingly. You run it up in there and giving it to the devil. And don't get nothing in return. Don't get nothing in return but a life of trouble. Oh, yeah. Somebody used to try to tie to that drug, huh? Mary Jane. Where your treasure is, where your heart is, that's where your treasure going to be. I'm going to stop right up. You was giving a tithe over there? You was tied into the club, the devil church. Test. Y'all still there? Y'all still there? Oh, yeah. How much y'all charge? 25. 30 with jeans. Man, I don't know, man. Oh, but it's packing that, man. We got to get in that, man. Oh, that devil, boy, I'm telling y'all, man. That's all right. We got a ram in the bush. Give me the blue one. Give me the blue one. We was tied into the club, y'all. Oh, yeah. Some of the men, and he was tied into women. Gotta have them. I'm gonna leave that at that. We're moving on. Some of the ladies tied to beauty products. You don't tie to church, baby. Ooh. But you're tied to Chow Mein. You're tied. My nails and my toes and my lashes. And look, nothing wrong with lashes. Nothing wrong with your toes done, your nails done. Nothing wrong with all of that. But the problem is when you go and you give for those things and you don't give to the Lord. Oh, man. Where your treasure is, That's where your heart gonna be. Clothing, furniture, stuff, you know. And these things are not bad. It just shows where our heart at, y'all. Looking, listen, I'm winding down. You see, it's not the tithing that saves us, no. You see, but like Abel, it shows that we save. It shows that we really believe he gave it all for us. You see, because when you really believe that cross, man, when you really believe that that the God of all creation laid down his life because of you. And when he didn't need you, giving is easy. You see? So Abel believed and it was counted to him as righteousness. And Abraham believed and it was counted for him as righteousness. And it's the same thing with us, y'all. Romans 4:23, and this is it. Carlos, come get me, Carlos. Come get me. That's how I start talking about lashes again. You see, in 4:23 it says, now it was not written for his sake alone, for Abraham's sake and for Abel's sake. All this stuff about faith and believing God, it was not written just for their sake. That it was imputed to him and to them. That God gave them righteous for believing. You know, it wasn't written for their sake. 24, but for us. God wanted to teach us something about being in relationship with him and believing him and loving him. These things, it was written for us, y'all. To whom it shall be imputed. God going to give us the same thing he gave them. He going to clothe us with righteousness. Though we ratchet, though we sin, and though we grew up this way and that way and did this and that. If we just believe in him, it's going to be imputed to us, y'all. Just like that. And he zooms in on exactly what he wants us to believe. It's going to be imputed, but it's a condition. The condition is this. If we believe on him that raised up Yahshua Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. See, in this new dispensation, you got to believe that gospel, man. That cross. He died. He was buried. And the Father raised him up again. You see? And when we believe like that, Romans 5:1 says that we are justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, not by works, just by believing, by faith, what happens? We now have peace with. And it only comes through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, give y'all some glory. Yeah. 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 So tonight, listen, we're going to believe our way in tonight. We're going to trust our way in tonight. We're going to be like Abel and like Abraham, amen, and thousands of generations of believers after that. It's always been by faith. Pray with me. Say, God our Father, God of Abel, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to you broken. Messed up, full of mistakes, sins. But I thank you that my faith that that my faith can acquire your righteousness. Right now, I believe you. Like Abel believed you. Like Abraham believed you. God, I believe you. I'm fully persuaded in your promises. Lord, save me and use me. You died on the cross. You were buried in a grave. And you rose on the third day. Bless me with faith for salvation and faith for prosperity. Send me my Isaac. I'm ready to laugh at your power in my life. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, give God some glory. You thought I was worth saving. That's what you was doing, right, Carlos? You, Carlos is a bad boy. Yeah. Come on, stand, and I'm going to get you out of here, y'all. The Amos is, see Minister Anthony before y'all leave. We're going to see Minister Anthony or Deacon Cardell before y'all leave. Don't leave until they touch bases with you. Amen. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Y'all stayed a little bit later, and I pray he rewards you abundantly for those extra minutes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Love y'all. Be blessed. Shalom.